I'm Derek Russell.
And I'm Brad Locke, and this is The Memo,
a gathering of all things Northeast Mississippi, brought to you by The Daily Journal and DJournal.com. Good afternoon, you're on The Memo. It is June 27th, a Monday. We're here. I'm Derek Russell with Brad Locke, bringing you the latest news over the weekend from Northeast Mississippi. Brad, how are you doing today?
Sore. I'm sore.
All right.
Well, you asked. You know, I hate when people give a dishonest answer. Like, I'm fine. Everything's great.
My eyes are sore because you're wearing that shirt again.
Yeah, you like that?
I thought you burned that thing.
It's my favorite shirt now.
Or you walked outside and it burst into flames from the reflectiveness.
I won't get hit by a car because you can't miss me.
Unless they're aiming for you.
Well.
Look at that guy's shirt. Possible. Just run him down.
It's a good looking shirt. I've gotten compliments on this shirt, Derek. Thank you very much.
Motorists don't care about Brad Locke.
A lot of people don't care about Brad Locke.
I started that petition.
Oh, did you?
500 yeah. names. Just here, internally.
We don't even employ that many people.
That's weird. How impressive it was. Weird. Some people wanted to sign twice.
You get Mr. Jingles, the company mouse, to sign?
No.
Is he still around?
It's not a fake name. I haven't heard from him in a while. There. Hey, buddy.
Okay. Do you get Podgator to sign?
Yeah, Podgator signed twice. Yeah. See,
oh, yeah.
Two for yes.
Yeah. So anyway, yeah, I've been moving.
You had any children lately? Huh? Hey.
Been moving the past few days, which is why I wasn't on the podcast some last week, so I'm exhausted.
Leslie Chris set in, and okay. Yeah, you're free to go whenever.
Okay. I mean,
she
Leslie probably
she schooled Scott Morris.
Well, somebody needs to.
Scott came in and said he was going to make the podcast great again, and she said, "I've already done that the last 2 days."
Oh,
slow golf clap.
Yes,
slow,
indeed.
Slow 80s movie.
She is his boss.
Clap. It didn't matter. It was good. It was a good comeback.
It was.
On today's show, we've got Caleb Bedillion joining us as well as Scott Morris.
Speak of the devil.
Yeah.
Scott Morris is in here. And we've even got crime reports, even though I only had 2 days worth on the blog last week because, again, I was off a lot moving.
Hey, were you off last week?
I was. I was off last week. Stop rolling your eyes at me.
I didn't roll my eyes. That's a...
Just explaining why there's...
I think it's like a muscle reflex.
Well, there's
I have
a dearth of police
something.
Reports at...
a dearth.
At the blog. Yeah. Oh. That's your big word for the day, kids. Dearth.
He's lack, also been reading the dictionary.
Lack of.
Found one while he was moving. Oh, I've been hearing about these.
Honey, how long have we had a dictionary?
Dearth. Is that like death? No, it's not. Okay.
Every day I'm going to work one of these into the podcast.
Word of the day.
You ever seen the program, that football movie? That kid thought he was being smart because he would learn a new word every day and use it in interviews. So he'd like use the word lugubrious in an interview about football, which is just funny to me.
All right.
That's just reminding me of that. I have these random thoughts that prop into my head.
Two big words you just used.
I don't even know what that word means.
Look that one up. I heard it in a movie one time.
That's a good movie.
You guys all settled in?
We're in. We're not settled.
This encyclopedia is really old. It's got the USSR in it. My sister still has a globe that has the USSR.
Man, I was going. Speaking of old, I was going through stuff, moving, and
looking in the mirror.
Came across some old newspaper articles I wrote from.
Back was your head shaved?
No. This is like back when I was in North Carolina before I shaved my head. It was just brought back some memories.
You look funny with that shaved head.
I do. I don't know why I ever did it. I did it for years. Did it in college briefly, and then I did it again after we moved here, and it was a bad idea.
A lot of people do weird things in college.
Yeah, they do.
Yeah, you had a lot of those.
Yeah.
You've forgotten most of them, haven't you?
Well, no. Well, yeah, because of age.
I can't remember
because
if I forgot
old.
Them or not.
Not because I was like drunk
or
anything.
Some ginseng into your 4 cups of coffee.
Something.
Ginkgo biloba.
Some right.
Where is your coffee?
I drank it all.
I wish you could remember to forget that shirt.
It's a great shirt. It's Aeropostale. Come on, I'm stylish.
I know, but I feel like you're supposed to be playing European soccer.
Or golf.
Football, as it was. Or is it still, I don't know. I guess you're still European.
Whatever. Sure.
Have we described the shirt yet?
It's bright. It's like
they can't hear it?
It's like highlighter yellow.
Maybe.
That's what it is, or green or something.
There's a piercing sound coming through your speakers right now. It's that shirt.
Because it's loud, I get it.
I get it, yeah. No, you can actually hear it. It makes it audible. It's okay. It's fine.
Yeah.
Just kind of shielded away from me at all times, if that's possible.
Sure. Just, don't touch me.
Well, as soon as we,
I can't. I'm
you got a nervous habit. It might be the shirt.
My foot just has to tap all the time.
The shirt may be radioactive, though.
Yeah.
I'm worried about you.
It's okay.
Your eyes are green. Might be a reflection of the shirt, but might not be also. All right. Well, we're going to drudge forth. You know what drudge means? Did you look that one up?
Drudge report?
No.
Matt Drudge. Definition. Yeah. Oh. News aggregator.
Read your dictionary. Ooh, aggregator.
Someone who judges.
Put three on the board, Chris.
I'm going to roll.
I'm going to pull out a little Pee Wee Herman sticker every time you say one, and we're all going to scream real loud when you get the word of the day. We need a word of the day.
We do. I can handle that.
Today's word is Brad shirt. Every time you hear Brad shirt, scream real loud.
That's two, that's two words. Anyway. That's
fine.
Okay, I guess we should do the show now.
I'm gonna.
People listening have no idea how much editing Chris Kiefer has had to do just to get to this point.
Forgive me, I'm just going to look this direction.
Just to get to this point of the show, the intro.
Oh my God, it reflects off the wall. That's how bright it is, even behind me. All right, let's get started. Caleb Bedillion joining us now to discuss the President's Gate apartment complex on Lawndale. Caleb, this complex has been through many changes over the past several years. I remember Lawrence Dees representing the tenants at one time against the owners several years back. It looks like they're in they may be in hot water again over here.
Maybe. As you said, it's a long story. You know, there's a long history with President's Gate. The complex itself was built in 1975, and I'm told by some people that, you know, when it first opened, it was one of the places to be. Now, I'm not going to say it's not that anymore. That would be for everyone to decide for themselves. But let's just say there were, a couple years ago, there were some mold issues, and that led to several of the buildings being declared uninhabitable. Some tenants sued over the mold issues. Then there were some raw sewage backing up into some of the buildings. That also triggered a lawsuit.
Brad knows all about that. Look at his shirt.
The owners of the complex sued the city and claimed that they were responsible for the sewage. That suit has now been dismissed twice by a federal judge, including most recently, earlier this month. But basically, the short of it most recently is there are three buildings on the complex property that are uninhabitable. The city doesn't issue a certificate of occupancy that no one's living there. But the Department of Development Services finally, took action and put a proposal before the city council to have those buildings condemned, and there would be a demolition order, which means that if the ownership didn't do it, the city would and charge the complex for it. An attorney for the ownership appeared at the city council meeting where that was going to be considered, says a sale may be imminent. Looks like there's a company that has a contract for $2.5 million to buy the property. So we'll see if that goes through. The city council held off on any action following that piece of information.
One of the bigger reasons the city is so heavily invested in this right now is because of its relationship to the 76 acres behind it that they just bought.
That's right. This corridor, this whole area really has kind of come in for some attention from the city for redevelopment, and President's Gate basically sits right in the middle of all that. Directly bordering President's Gate to the south, yes, like you said, it's the 76 some odd acres that the city bought. Undeveloped land, they've talked about a historic park, they've talked about maybe some single family housing on some of that. And then not directly bordering it, but a little bit to the north is the Azalea Gardens Complex. Somewhat similar in its history with President's Gate. But the city actually bought Azalea Gardens, and slowly I think they've been trying to, as people move out, they don't replace them. The goal is to empty that out without actually evicting anyone. And then once that happens, they want to raise the whole complex and see something different happen there. So yeah, the city has a lot of interest in this area, and it all kind of surrounds President's Gate. So I think their hope is to see some of what they deem to have been problems in the past, they want to see that addressed and something a little bit better happening.
It's kind of the ace in the hole over here. Azalea Gardens, of course, being at the corner of Ida and Lawndale.
That's right.
We've seen over the past 5 years now, the city has demolished all the existing buildings on Ida Street, the other apartment complexes all the way down the road up towards Hancock Park. So.
Yeah, so the city has a park there in that corner. Yeah. So really, I mean, there's a lot of city stuff going on there and a lot of potential for redevelopment that they see.
I don't remember if you said this or not, but currently there's two three buildings that are
the total. I can't tell you how many buildings total are on the property. I can tell you it's a 257 apartment unit complex, and approximately 80 of those are out of commission. They're not being rented out. Right. City won't issue a certificate of occupancy. One of the three buildings actually suffered quite a bit of fire damage last fall. The attorney, Mr. Brian Yoakum, for the ownership, told the city council that the buildings are secured. I tried to get some details from him in a conversation last week about what manner they are secured. You know, if it's possible for people to get in there, you have to wonder since there was a fire. He declined to provide any details on that. I know one thing Development Services is concerned about. Those three buildings are on the very back of the property. Mm-hmm. If you're all the way back there, you're pretty far from any roads or anything. Mm-hmm. And then there's a fence that's supposed to be behind those three buildings. Yeah. But the fence basically doesn't exist anymore. And then there's another complex on the other side. I think there's some concerns about foot traffic back and forth between those complexes. And, you know, certainly no proof that I've seen, but I think some city officials have some concerns about things going on back there that shouldn't be going on.
They will no doubt be watching this closely. We will as well. Caleb will as well on top of that. So thank you for joining us, Caleb.
Sure thing, Derek.
Hey, I need to remind y'all to watch the Daily Journal's Capital View webcast each Monday afternoon at djournal.com. Capital Bureau Chief Bobby Harrison provides commentary and analysis on the issues being debated in Jackson. You can watch live on Monday afternoons at 2 o'clock or catch the replay later in the day. The 2016 legislative session is now over, but Bobby will continue to provide perspective about the news coming out of the state capitol. Big news today, of course, is the special session being called by Governor Phil Bryant to deal with the state budget shortfall. So, again, that went down at 2 o'clock at djournal.com. Go check the replay if you missed it. And also, let's remind you that the Journal is excited to announce a change on our website that will allow more people to consume as much of our content as they want. We have recently removed our paywall, and djournal.com is now free from the first click to the last. We've also increased our multimedia content by launching new products ranging from videos to webcasts and, of course, podcasts like this one. The website complements our print product, the Northeast Mississippi Daily Journal. So visit djournal.com to stay informed on the latest news in Northeast Mississippi. Whether you want a recipe for tonight's dinner or details on the city's plan to revitalize neighborhoods, you can find it all in one place at djournal.com. And now we have M. Scott Morris.
On a rare Monday.
On a Monday.
For my chance to make the podcast great again.
A rare Monday, but it's too early in the week for that. But how you doing?
I'm doing fine. How about yourself?
Doing well, man. I'm going to talk about the story you did on Sunday. So what we have here is two dumb journalists trying to talk about like astrophysics or something. You know, but it's a very well written story, and I think you made it accessible to idiots like myself. It's about black holes and gravitational waves and whatnot.
If you look at Brad's shirt long enough, you get sucked into a Brad hole. Black hole. I couldn't Brad do it.
That's you know what I wanted to get this story right, so I watched video after video after video explaining gravitational waves so I could understand. And I think I got to the point where it's a relatively simple thing. Einstein, about 100 years ago, he came up with a theory. He said that if something big enough happened in the universe, mm-hmm. it would create waves, gravitational waves. If two black holes collided with each other, it would create gravitational waves. You can think of it as like a rock going into a pond and having ripples afterward.
Yeah.
Although Marco Cavaglia, our physicist there over in Ole Miss, one of them, said he prefers to think of it as like ringing a bell. So instead of sound waves, though, you have gravitational waves.
Yeah. And by the way, the story is about these two Ole Miss professors that were
Catherine Dooley and Marco Cavaglia. Yeah,
they were among the scientists that detected these waves.
Yeah, they're like, but there are more than 1,000 scientists involved in this.
Spoiler alert, Brad, he hadn't gotten to that point yet.
But still, the waves, what Einstein said the waves would do is they would stretch and compress space time. So there ought to be a way to, even though it's happened far away and it's a very weak signal, we still ought to be able to like measure it. And it just took $300 million to do it and 50 years to create these two facilities, one in Louisiana and one in Washington, that basically are just some of the most precise scientific instruments ever developed by mankind.
Wow.
The cutting edge of science. Yeah. And on September 14th, they got their first hit. They recorded evidence of two black holes colliding 1.3 billion light years away.
Wow.
And now your next question is, how do you know it's a black hole?
Yeah, how do you know it's a black hole, Scott?
How do you know it's two black holes?
Two black holes.
Well, I asked the physicists this. And they said that basically for 100 years, people have known about Einstein's equations and ideas. Mm-hmm. And so they worked with them on blackboards, and they worked with them on supercomputers. And so they've come up with pretty good models of what they thought they would see if this was actually true. And when it actually happened, that's what got them really excited early on, is because it lined up with projections wonderfully. So what scientists had predicted would happen is pretty much the way it happened. But they had to make sure that it wasn't tricked out, because that was September 14th. They didn't announce that until February 11th.
Because apparently you can get a false positive.
They're highly precise machines. They're glitchy machines as well.
Yeah.
And so sometimes they're offline. And also, like an earthquake, or actually down in Louisiana, logging can mess with things a little bit. So you had to like make sure that wasn't it. Also, a team will test every so often to try to trick them, and they have to catch that. And also, you have to figure there's probably some hacker somewhere who knows all this math and just wants to have some fun. You know, and so he might be doing something. So they announced the first one on February 11th, mm-hmm. and the second one. They, when I was interviewing them, I said, "So have you heard anything else?" And they said, "When's your story going to run?"
Nice.
And I said, "You know, Father's Day or the Sunday after." And they said, "Well, that might be a good time to run it." And so on June 15th, they announced that it happened again, that they recorded something on December 26th. So it just so happened that I was doing this story right. It became timely without my help at all.
You're good like that.
That's how I got on the news page. That's how I'm here today on Monday. I'm never invited on Monday.
So basically how they detect these, they use like mirrors and lasers, and I think there's smoke. And I think it's just basically a magic trick.
All right, so like they have a laser beam.
Yeah.
They split that beam. Mm-hmm. One goes they both go in different directions, 4 kilometers long vacuum tubes. They hit these mirrors, very precise mirrors, and come back. Mm-hmm. And when they return, they merge together, and they should cancel each other out. Mm-hmm. And that's the way it's working the vast majority of the time. When you have one of these events, though, there's interference in that point of return, right? Mm-hmm. And it's the width of 1/1000th of a proton.
It's pretty small.
So it's nothing to see. But computers will catch it, and you have reams of data, and you can see it, and they can convert it to a sound. If you do a search for LIGO, LIGO, uh-huh. You can go to like the Caltech and MIT website, and you can listen to the sound waves of these things.
Cool.
It's basically what it sounds like when I sit down on the couch.
Very much like that. And then how the waves ripple out, and like Wesley gets knocked off the couch.
Mm-hmm. You just fly up. That's seesaw effect.
It's kind of like a trampoline in that case. Yeah. But still, there's a similar philosophy applies, or principle of science, I guess, applies.
So gravitational waves, and then we've seen this in the news a little bit, why should we be like excited about this if you're just a layman
me? One, the sheer knowledge of it.
Right.
You know, I mean, obviously there's that. I mean, it's like we this is the first time humans have ever discovered these things. So it's a novel thing. Mm-hmm. And they don't know. You know, you don't know what you're going to find out. You know, the fact that these are the best mirrors ever made. Mm-hmm. And so will they have other applications for other types of things? Who knows? Processes were developed to make those mirrors that now can be used in other. And very much like the moon shoot, there could be other technology that comes out of this that has applications they don't expect.
Right.
But this is the quote from Cavaglia that I ended the story with. Now you know how to read it. Said, but in 200 to 300 years, imagine an Italian accent when I say this. But in 200 to 300 years, what will people do with gravitational waves? And he said, think about this. 200, 300 years ago, people started experimenting with electricity.
And now we have this podcast.
There we go. Exactly. And the lights and the computers.
There's
and
also
all
negative
that.
Effects.
Yeah. I'm on this podcast.
And that very bright shirt you're wearing.
Yes.
The electricity probably has something to do with that. The Brad hole.
It's the radioactivity.
He stuck his tongue in an electrical outlet.
On our website, mm-hmm. there's a video of Catherine Dooley and Marco Cavaglia, excuse me, talking about this that Ole Miss put together. We have a link to that.
Yep.
And also, if you go to YouTube and do LIGO, a bunch of stuff will come up that I think will do a better job explaining this than I have.
Yeah, well, I thought you made the story very as easy to understand as you could, I think, for someone like us. You know, obviously, this is some esoteric kind of stuff. Hey, here's another big word for the day.
What?
Esoteric.
Is it esoteric or esoteric?
It's esoteric. Esoteric. While he was moving this weekend, he apparently found a dictionary for the first time ever.
These words are all in my head, actually.
I've been hearing about these.
They're circling around the brad hole as we speak.
Anyway, so it's esoteric stuff. Not everybody can understand it, but I thought the story is fascinating, and it's really cool what they're doing. And that is a couple of local professors helping out with this thing. So, good job.
Yeah, I was thrilled to death when I found out that we had Ole Miss people involved in this. And I'd done through with Marco before.
Yeah.
And so I was like in the news, I think you might have heard me in a meeting, I was saying, I'm going to hear about gravitational waves. I was very excited about going.
Yeah.
And they gave me like a couple of hours of their time to explain all this to me, and I really appreciated it.
Yeah, well, science is fun. So, hey, you can find that story again in Sunday's Journal or at djournal.com. Scott? Thank you, sir. I think you did make the podcast pretty great with this one.
Thank you. All I need is a cosmic event.
That's all it takes.
That's all it takes.
No pressure.
Thank you, sir. Be sure to look for the two sports podcasts that we produce here at the Daily Journal. Prep Rally is a high school sports podcast with myself and Gene Phelps. New episodes air every Wednesday, and you can watch the webcast live at around 11 a.m. at djournal.com. The podcast version drops later that day. You can listen to it for free in iTunes, your podcast apps, or at preprally.djournal.com. And also, Ole Miss and Mississippi State fans, check out the Double Coverage podcast. Ole Miss beat reporter Parrish Alford and MSU reporter Logan Lowry release a new episode each Thursday afternoon in which they provide game previews, insight, commentary, and analysis on the Bulldogs and Rebels. Listen to it for free in iTunes, your podcast apps, or at doublecoverage.djournal.com. Time now for today's news memo, and for more on these stories, read the Daily Journal or visit djournal.com. Mississippi Governor Phil Bryant has issued a call for a special legislative session to deal with a shortfall in Mississippi's 2016 budget. The governor's office said in a news release today that the special session will start at 10 a.m. on Tuesday. The only item on the call is legislation authorizing the governor to transfer money from the state's rainy day fund into the general fund to cover the 2016 budget deficit. Mississippi could be looking at a shortfall of as much as $75 million in the more than $6 billion budget. Tax collections are about $206 million short of original estimates through May. Bryant has already ordered two rounds of budget cuts and has dipped into the state rainy day fund.
Commission studying the possible consolidation of school districts in Chickasaw County and Lumberton will start this week. A panel examining the Chickasaw County, Houston, and Okolona districts will meet on Wednesday in Holka. Lawmakers decided not to order those districts to be consolidated. Instead, they called for a study with possible future action. Meanwhile, a panel that will decide how to divide the Lumberton School District between the Poplarville and Lamar County districts will meet on Tuesday at William Carey University in Hattiesburg. State law passed this year requires the Lumberton District to be abolished by July 1, 2019. It requires the panel to make a reasonable effort to maintain a school in Lumberton.
Two Tupelo School District educators have been awarded for their commitment to promoting arts education in the school district and the community. Lawhorn Elementary art teacher Amanda Kulaba and TPSD Director of Educational Enhancement Christy Lewes received awards at the Mississippi Arts Commission's annual Whole Schools Summer Institute. Kulaba received the Mississippi Alliance for Art Education's Thad Cochran Distinguished Arts Educator Award for Media Arts. It recognizes her leadership in arts education. Lewes received the 2016 Outstanding Service Award from the MAC and the Whole Schools Initiative. Tupelo was also awarded the School District of Excellence Award by the Mississippi Alliance for Art Education.
A Thursday night fire in custom-engineered wheels in Tupelo caused millions of dollars of damage. The Tupelo Fire Department received a call at 9:48 on Thursday night to fight the fire at the 36,000-square-foot plant on North Easton Boulevard. 14 workers were in the building at the time, but none of them were injured. The blaze has been ruled an accident. It started when a piece of equipment caught fire and ignited insulation in the wall. Custom Engineered Wheels supplies wheels to lawn equipment manufactured at MTD in Verona. The Tupelo plant employs nearly 100 during its busy season.
The Salvation Army's pantry shelves are thin just at the time of year when families need them most. The Salvation Army serves 100 to 150 lunches and dinners each day and provides food assistance to 40 families each month. Salvation Army Social Services Director Susan Gilbert said families who normally depend on the free and reduced school meal programs to provide breakfast and lunch are having to plan for two more meals a day during the summer. Gilbert said the organization is short on staples like noodles, rice, kid-friendly soups, and macaroni and cheese. Donations can be dropped off at the Salvation Army Social Services Building at 527 Carnation Street in Tupelo. For more information, call 662-842-9222.
Hey, Brad, it's Monday.
Police reports.
Yep.
I only had 2 days worth last week on the blog.
Because... I called one in a few minutes ago.
Oh, okay. Good.
You know why?
No.
Your shirt.
Nah.
It's offensive.
Should have seen that coming.
You couldn't because you're blinded by the shirt. Oh, okay. Okay, that's the last one. It's a fine shirt. I have no problems with the shirt. It's just easy to pick on.
So for people who are wondering about this shirt, you can go online to Daily... What are we at? Daily Journal's Facebook page.
Yeah.
Daily Journal's Instagram page. Or
Chris just forgot the name of the newspaper.
At the Journal Mail.
You go to the Daily.
What are we?
Hold on. Nobody tell me.
What's our Twitter handle? At D Journal Memo on Twitter. Thank you.
Nobody tell me the name of the newspaper. I'll think of it in a minute.
I've only been here 8 years or whatever.
Hello, Cleveland.
This is the Antonio. Daily Times leader.
Only 2 days worth of police reports last week because, again, I was moving. Did you know that, Derek? I was out last week a lot because I was moving. I'm not sure if I mentioned that.
I can't hear you over your...
over my shirt.
Okay. I didn't say it.
Yeah, you were going to.
No, I didn't. You don't know what I was thinking.
You thought it.
Unless that thing gives you powers.
It does. Special mind-reading powers.
Telepathy.
But even though we only had 2 days worth, we've got some good reports, Derek. So let's start with a County Road 1057 Auburn couple that said they made their 44-year-old son move out. 44 years old.
He was probably wearing a shirt like that.
When he left, he took a 9mm pistol, a log chain, a trailer, and 2 sets of keys, and refuses to return them. 44 years old.
Let's just keep an eye on him to be safe. That's a very specific list.
I could see him popping up in these reports again. Yeah.
They didn't raid the pantry.
Yeah.
He raided the garage.
Good grief. Time to cut the apron strings there, Mama.
Change the locks.
Well, you got a chainsaw. You can do it with that.
I mean, listen, there are special circumstances that might require you to live with your parents at that age. I get it.
Brad knows. Okay. He's been there.
I don't. Haven't lived with my parents since I was like 21, 22. Okay. I'm still in college. Anyway.
Was it because of the shirt?
No.
Because it should be.
Let's go to Plantersville. The Highway 6 Plantersville man said a female was on his property without permission, fishing and shooting a .22 caliber rifle in the lake. I don't know if she's shooting the fish.
Snakes.
I guess. Maybe. She was fishing while shooting the rifle. I just don't know how you
shooting
can do both
of those. Shooting the fish is cheating.
I don't know if you, so.
Was there a barrel?
Doesn't stop people in Lee County.
Was there a barrel?
No.
What good is shooting the fish if you're keeping it for... Anyway.
I don't know. I mean, shoot I don't know how snake. You can be fishing and shooting a gun unless you're fishing with a gun. That's just my thought.
Aren't you going to scare the fish away? Isn't it like...
Not if you hit them.
Rule number 3 in fishing?
Probably. Some, I don't
what
know.
Are the first two?
Bring beer. That's the first rule.
Figure for the
out.
Fish?
You figure it out.
I don't know.
When confronted, she said she can do whatever she wanted because the lake was touching her property. The man said the woman was definitely on his side of the property line.
Mm.
Well, she's got the gun, so I guess she wins that argument.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I was going to let her have it with the fishing rod, but the .22 caliber, that really convinced me.
A Maxwell Street woman said that during the early morning hours, a female took her keys and drove off in her car, possibly headed to Saltillo. The suspect is known to hang out with a person named Tomcat. A grown man answers to Tomcat.
Is that his real name's Cat, his last name?
I'm sure his name's like Thomas, and he just goes by... Tomcat.
That was my maybe, wrestling name in high school.
Maybe he's a player.
What?
As they say.
I don't understand. Oh, there's so much unknown in these things. She knew the woman?
Yeah, yeah.
But we don't know that.
I guess.
We're inferring.
She just knows that, well, maybe she's hanging out with this Tomcat fella.
Okay. But she knew her well enough to know, hey, she took the keys and sometimes she goes to Saltillo.
I would be willing to bet that this Tomcat fella has Tomcat tattooed somewhere on
hashtag
him.
Tomcat. That's a pound sign. That's not a hashtag.
Is it cat with a K and two T's?
C. Just a C. T O M.
All one word?
No, two words. Yeah. Tomcat.
I wonder if cat is his last name.
Be a weird last
Be
name.
Pretty cruel joke by his parents.
A County Road 885 Shannon woman said she heard voices outside her home around 3 a.m. When she happening. Went outside to check, no one was there. And the Morville Woods people are now in Shannon. They're getting full Lee County
They're
coverage.
Migrating.
They've been to Saltillo and Guntown.
They're nomads.
Now they're gone
gypsies.
Over to the south part of the county.
I think they're gypsies.
Shannon. Could be.
I think they're gypsies. Could That's what gypsies. I've reserved myself to believe in.
Yeah. Could see that.
They're nomads.
Gypsies tend to wander.
Small hands.
Small hands.
Smell like cabbage.
Oh, boy. So, yeah. Watch out for those woods people. Apparently, the woods people thing is catching on with readers because people comment on Facebook now when I post it. They're like, oh, Morville used to be the place to live. Now I get all these woods people.
Hashtag Morville Woodsman. That's a pound sign. That's not a hashtag. Do the, you know how you do that?
Yeah. Hashtag. Okay. Finally.
It's terrible.
An 83-year-old Shannon woman said someone is texting her nude pictures. She has no idea who
James?
She has no idea. It could be. Boy, we haven't heard from him in a while.
James?
Have we? It's got to be James.
He's reaching out loud to us.
She has no idea who's sending them, but she wants them to stop. Didn't say if it's a man or a woman sending her these pictures. But somebody's got an old phone number, and this poor lady is getting all these naked pictures.
That's unfortunate. There's also a block button on your phone.
Yeah, which she's 83, and let's be honest.
Did the police intervene far enough to, like, show that?
I hope so.
Scroll down, and here's a block.
Please give tech support.
Yeah.
Text support.
Or that.
Get it?
Unfortunately, there's not a mental block.
No. Poor lady.
That's unfortunate.
Yeah. So that's it for police reports. You can find more at tipsheet.djournal.com. There you go.
All right, tipsheet.djournal.com, where you can find those. All the stories we talked about today, you can find online, djournal.com, or in your issue of the Northeast Mississippi Daily Journal. We're online as well, memo.djournal.com. That's when you find out when new episodes are available. You can stream from there, as well as subscribe to us on iTunes or any podcatcher, and that will update when new episodes are available. And you can follow us on Twitter to find out when episodes are available as well, at DJournal Memo. The latest in breaking news you can find on our Daily Journal Twitter, at DJournal Now.
You can go to Twitter today, at DJournal Memo, to see...
to be blinded.
Yeah, to be blinded.
Light.
That's right. And I'll retweet it from my account, at Brad Locke. Bam.
You're at Chiefer.
Ah. You get that changed yet? Changed over?
Working on that?
Not yet.
It's a big.
Don't get your hopes up.
By the way, I should thank Chiefer publicly for helping me move. He did.
That was nice.
Devote a couple of hours last week to help me get some stuff over to the house.
That was nice, of Chiefer.
Glad to do it.
Nice fella. We'll keep him around.
Okay.
he has to be the nicest human on the planet because he puts up with our stuff.
Yours
on this podcast.
Yours most.
Lots of alcohol.
Yeah, rubbing alcohol in his eyes to get that shirt up. Oh, God. Cleanse.
So we'll be back on Wednesday.
We will. Will you be here?
I will be here.
You sure?
Pretty sure, yes.
Kind of intermittent right now.
I'll be here Wednesday, Thursday, then next week I'm on vacation.
Wasn't last week a vacation?
See you, suckers. No. Like the opposite of a vacation is what last week
we'll was. We'll be discussing this at your peer review.
Okay.
Cool. All right.
Great.
It's fine. I'm looking forward to having Leslie in again. She was better than you.
Boy,
and she wore muted colors. See you guys on Wednesday.
All right.